friends, you have reached episode number 92 of eBay the Right Way. Today's date is December 21st, 2022, and I am so happy that we have reached the winter solstice where we start having more hours of daylight. I love the winter solstice. It means the dark night of the soul is over. In fact, when I explained to my kids what the winter solstice is, I guess they were back middle school, and I said, oh, the days are going to get longer. And they were so confused. They were like, well, isn't every day only 24 hours? How is it getting longer? But it's the amount of daylight. So that is now upon us. Okay, my guest in this episode is Kim, who is actually my neighbor in Greenville, South Carolina, and we live just a few miles apart. Before we get into the conversation, I have a couple of announcements. I have been receiving the most wonderful and glowing feedback on the 2023 eBay Sellers Calendar in my eBay store, and wanted to share this with you in case you are on the fence about getting one. And I also wanted to give a shout out to these fine people because I appreciate every feedback comment left by my buyers. Margot said, I didn't think anything could top last year's calendar, but this one is even better. I bought this for myself and I love it. I opened it this morning and, believe it or not, found one of the bolos this afternoon. The calendar itself is excellent quality with inspiring and very useful content. It was shipped in sturdy and protective packaging and arrived very quickly. An outstanding product from an outstanding and professional seller. Thank you. And thank you, Margot. I really appreciate that. Rita left this feedback. My second calendar, fantastic product, delivered super fast. Thank you so much, Rita. And then Patricia said, thank you, Suzanne. I always appreciate the little thank you note you include. Looking forward to the 2023 Bolo book. And yes, that is already in progress. So that will be coming out next summer. Summer of 2023. And yes, I include a personal note on every single one of my educational products. I just like making things personal because everything is so automated these days. And, you know, I do all my own shipping, I do all my own listing, I do all the help desk support emails through my premium library. I just like having my hands on this business and doing these things myself. And then one more comment from Rhonda. She said, great calendar, looking forward to making great use of it in 2023. Thanks again, Suzanne. Highly recommend this seller. Secure packaging and quickly shipped. So there you go. You can always go to my feedback page and read more comments. Thank you to everyone who has purchased any of my educational materials. I appreciate you and sincerely hope the materials help you stay motivated and, most importantly, make more money. Okay, let's go to the conversation with Kim.
Hi, eBay sellers. Welcome to another podcast, and today's guest is Kim, who is in the same fine city as I am, Greenville, although I don't think technically you're in Greenville.
Technically, no, but I consider myself a Greenvillian.
Yes, yes, and newly transplanted Greenvillian.
Very new, very new.
Okay, so yeah, we met for coffee a couple months ago because we were both new here, and we talked for like 3 hours, and I should have recorded that, but
I know we had a lot to say. We had a lot to share.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what got you to Greenville.
Really just a life choice, because we have family in Virginia and Pennsylvania, and we have family way down in Florida. And it was just kind of a halfway point. That's a great jumping off point to go in either direction. And we fell in love with the area when visiting. So we chose it for our home.
Well, and I read something, many somethings, that Greenville's in the top five cities right now where people are migrating from other states. So it is.
And I would believe that, because a lot of people that I have met are also from somewhere else.
Well, it's funny. I'll talk to people like in a store or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, I just moved here. Where'd you move from? Oh, Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, the cost of living is so much less and all the things I love about it. And they're like, well, it might not stay like that if you people keep coming here. So I'm like, but I'm putting money into your economy. You should be happy. But yeah, some of the people who've lived here forever, they're like, yeah, there's too many new people coming. But
well, I think they've seen a lot of changes and growth. And sometimes, you know, growth scares people and
yeah,
takes them out of their comfort zone or something. But most people are very hospitable. And
yes,
you know, it's been a really pleasant, fairly easy transition to live here. And we're enjoying it so far.
Except for the DMV. I couldn't believe everything they wanted. And I got up there, which you had the same thing happen, and I didn't have something, paperwork they needed. And I'm like, okay, my next visit, I'm going to bring, you know, my last doctor visit, all the medications I'm on, which are none. Just, you know, being sarcastic, like, you know, I'll bring my firstborn child. It's like, it's just a little much how many things they required, but, you know, I'd lived in Georgia for 22 years and I guess I just hadn't been through that, experience of moving everything to a new state, and just everything they require.
I think the requirements are quite high, but I found the process from where I moved from, the process was a lot quicker. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't sitting at the DMV for hours. Like, you know, I mean, we lived in Richmond, Virginia for the last 30 years. And I mean, when you were going to the DMV, you were like planning half of your day.
Yeah. Like, pack a lunch. You're right. So. Yeah. So yeah. Other than that little snafu, I've been very happy with it, and the cost of living is much lower.
Yes. So
probably for you coming from Virginia, from where you were, you're seeing that too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll talk about thrift store prices later, but
yeah, that's always interesting, right?
Yeah. You have a long and winding history with eBay. When did you start selling?
I do. I have like a little bit of an off on again, but it started when, was it my third child? Anyway, I have four children and I was a stay-at-home mom back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And just to kind of get out of the house, I had a part-time job at Gymboree, which sold mm-hmm. children's clothing, you know, boutique children's clothing, and loved my little job there because I had a great discount. I had 40% off discount mm-hmm. to clothe my children, and bought all these clothes that, of course, they wore a few times and outgrew, and they were in such great condition that I was able to resell them on eBay. That was kind of how I got introduced to it, because people told me, wow, there's collectors of this Gymboree clothing, or people just want it at a discounted price. They don't want to pay, you know, retail. You should go sell, you know, your things on there. So I learned how to, you know, set an account. And back then it was really all auction style. I can't really remember if there was like buy it now, but really a majority of it was auctions. You ran a 3, 5, 7 day auction. You chose, I usually did 7 days, so it allowed enough time, but Gymboree clothing at that time period was super hot. People wanted it. I sold every piece I ever put up there. Like, it didn't ever not sell. And it was fun day by day to watch the new bids come in. And it was just kind of a thrill. And I was able to really make all my money back or more than I paid for the clothing originally. So that was super exciting. And I did that for a couple of years. I was also, you know, kind of a yard saler. You know, I was always very thrifty, or with clothing my children, I was always an end of season shopper and put the things away for the next year. So I always had a multitude of really nice clothes for my children. And that was just kind of my hobby at the time. Like that was, you know, what I did for fun. But I always was flipping them. If it wasn't eBay with specific things, I would sell through local children's consignment pop-up sales, or I was just always involved in that arena of reselling. Mm-hmm. So for years after the Gymboree thing faded out, my kids got a little older, I just continued to do local consignment sales and things like that, but really wasn't plugged in to eBay per se or anything online selling. But because I was such a thrifter at heart and a, you know, garage saler, I started moving into finding clothes for myself. I was shopping for myself in the thrift stores, and I would come across things all the time that I was like, okay, like this isn't my size, or, you know, nobody I know wants this, but it's worth a lot of money. Like, I know this brand and I know this is valuable, or this is just a beautiful piece. You know, this is 100% cashmere, or this is whatever. And I just would buy them because I hated that they were just sitting in, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was saving these pieces or something.
Oh, I know. I have that issue of rescuing things.
Yeah.
And buy this, it might go to the landfill.
And right.
We just can't have this beautiful thing go into the landfill, never to be seen again.
Exactly. You know? I felt like I just had to have it. I had to buy it. And because it was such a good deal, right? Like, I knew if I walked into Nordstrom, that thing was going to be $150. So, so I just had to buy it. And so I think, I don't know really when the revelation hit to go back to eBay, but I thought, wow, I really need to figure out a way. I'm like, I can make money off of this. I'm sure that I can.
Yeah. So monetize your need to rescue.
So I just hopped back on there. I still have my original account, was still in good standing, even though I hadn't really utilized it. So I just started putting things on there. And I think when I went back on, which was probably, gosh, now we're talking in the early teens, 20 teens, you know, maybe 2012, 2013, 14, like mm-hmm. around there. Then my children were teenagers and they were going through the Abercrombie Hollister phase, and that was super hot for clothing. So I know I probably started with some of their things and then just, you know, added a few things here and there. And eventually phased completely out of any of my children's items, and then just moved to women's fashion and shoes, which is where I currently reside in my store. I pretty much stay in my lane with that. I will have a couple one-offs of hard goods or just interesting things that I find along the way. But for the most part, that is my niche and I stay there. I have three girls and one boy, but they are very close together in age. So I had my first three children in 3.5 years.
Oh.
And then my baby came 5 years later.
Okay. So you had a good supply of clothing to work from.
I did.
Okay.
Good. I did.
Okay.
So, yes. So that brought me to here today. And I still continue to enjoy. I mean, I'm still, after all these years, I'm still learning new brands, I'm constantly learning new things, but I enjoy my little niche and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, the learning never stops, that's for sure.
Yeah. Or it's changing.
I did a Zoom call with another guest who's coming on the podcast, and she is like, I'm sick of clothing, I'm getting out of it. So, you know, it seems like sometimes there's as many people getting out of it as there are getting into it. So you never really have to worry about competition for finding stuff because everybody's business just constantly changes.
That's really true. And you know, I've heard it said a lot for people that sell mainly hard goods. They're like, oh my gosh, it's so much work to do clothing, or, you know, I can't be bothered to do. And I think for me, it's just a rhythm. Like, I've done it so long that it doesn't feel like a huge chore or task. It doesn't feel any harder than, photographing one little item. You know, I don't know. It's easy for me. So
I think with clothing, the work comes on the front end before you list it.
Correct.
You know, like taking measurements, people are like, oh, that just takes so long. And I'm like, how? You're usually taking three measurements and I can do
right.
it 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that will help your item sell because you don't know how many people are just passing over on your listing. Like, oh, there's no measurements. I'm not going to ask. They're probably not going to answer, or it's going to take too long, or I need to do this right now, whatever. But with other items, the work comes after the sale with the shipping. Clothing is so fast
true.
And easy to ship.
That's true.
Other, you know, breakables, electronics, that is more time invested in the shipping. So it's like, just where do you want to spend your time? Because I feel like clothing doesn't take any longer than anything else. And you could put it in the washing machine, you know, you don't have to hand clean it. Well, most of it, you know, you don't have to hand clean it, or figure out if all the parts are there. I don't know how these people do Lego. I would just, my head would explode if I had to sit there and sort through, but some people love it.
Right.
You know, that's a challenge for them and they just can't wait to dive into it. So it just depends on what you like to do.
It really is geared towards, you know, what you're drawn to, what brings you joy in the, because, you know, even in the clothing realm, like there's certain types of clothing that I have picked up and I know I could sell for a profit, but like they would sit and sit and sit and I wouldn't list them because I wasn't interested in those. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, and I finally just like donated them or took them to a buy sell trade store. And I was like, I just don't want to, I don't know.
I know. Sometimes I'll be looking through the clothing, which I think I'm about half and half now with clothing and then other stuff, but it's like, I'll find something really, I found a cashmere blazer the other day and the lining was torn, but I could have fixed it. And I held it up and I looked at it and I'm like, I'm just not excited about listing this. It yeah. wasn't a high-end cashmere. If it was, I totally would have done it. But I think about if I get home and I'm going through these items, which things would I leave to the end because I don't want to do it? And I have started not buying those items. I'm just like, no, I know I can sell it. I just don't want to deal with it.
And right. So,
I'm trying to be more picky on the front end when I choose things so that when I get home, it's like, I'm excited about all of it. I don't know where to start. I can't
right.
wait to get this listed. And that's the feeling you have to go with because you don't have to list anything you don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
And what a joy to be able to be selective. You know, I don't have to choose everything to, you know, I'm not the primary source of income in my household. You know, I mean, it, my income does pay for a lot of our extras, you know, travel and like Christmas presents and those sorts of things, but it's not needed to live per se. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I have that, you know, I can just do what I want for more pleasure.
Well, it's not as stressful if you're not living on the money.
Right.
And I think in the long run, you're going to do better with your business if you're selling things you enjoy working with. You know, oh, I love this thing. I can't wait to dive in and get that listed and see who buys it and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I know sellers who just buy anything and everything, and they don't really think about, you know, how they feel about it. And right. Those are the ones that kind of get burned out because, you know, you're doing too much.
Right. And,
I mean, there's that whole, if you love what you do, it's not like a job. But I mean, there are parts of this that are work. But I think if you can make most of it what you like to work with, what is your passion, what gets you excited, you're going to get more done.
You know? Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm really just as excited to, like, once I've brought it home. And I work in batches. So I'll take a whole day and thrift multiple stores. Like, it's a thrifting day.
Yep.
And when I bring it home, I have a whole pile to photograph. I'll take an hour or two and just photograph a whole bunch of items at once. And then I sit and list all of those items. So that's how I work. But I'm just as excited on, you know, photographing day. Like, I'm excited to put them up there on my little hanger and get my lights out. And I usually listen to a podcast in the background while I'm photographing. And it's just enjoyable. Like, the process of everything is pretty much enjoyable to me. So you're right. Like, I don't feel like I have a job. It really feels more like a hobby, but it's earning me income, which is the bonus.
Yeah. And when I do the same thing, I may go to several stores in a day and do like a route. And it's like, I get home and then I'm like, oh, I gotta get, somebody could buy this in 5 minutes. I gotta get it listed. You know, I'm very motivated to list it. And then I'll get to a point where it's like, oh, I just can't do one more thing today. You know, my arms hurt. Or
Right.
It's like, I know I need to get all that listed, but physically I have hit the wall, and there's always tomorrow. That's okay.
Yeah, it'll still be there.
So we talked about you go to other states and do these thrifting routes. Is that part of when you travel, or are you just doing that solely for the thrifting?
So my husband also, he also has an eBay store. And so we, we'll spend a day together, and all of our, out of the direct area where we live, all of our thrifting days kind of out of our area are within a 2-hour drive. So, unless we are really on some kind of vacation, like we're traveling out of state. But in general, they're all, you know, within, we can do the whole route in one day. Mm-hmm. So we'll just take the whole day. It's a day that we're together. We are looking for separate things. So when we're in the store, we're not together. And then we come back together and we show each other what we got. And we talk about, you know, what was great about this store, or where we're going next. And so that's really kind of a fun day. We look forward to that. And we probably will do that twice a month. So quite regularly, because then we can bring home a big, a large amount of items. And then we don't necessarily have to you know, piecemeal shop where we live, like every 3 days, go to a store. We can just concentrate on the listing and, you know, doing other things. When we were in Charlotte, and I said, okay, the next time we go, we're going back down towards Atlanta. I think because the first time Atlanta area is just so vast.
And you may have to spend the night because those stores are so big.
Well, we did. The last time we went to Atlanta, we did spend the night that time. We stayed overnight and went out the next day and then came
home. It's like, I couldn't do more than two in a day. It's because I look at everything and it's just, you know, you're in there for 3 hours.
So. Well, that's my challenge with thrifting with my husband is he's a lot quicker than I am.
Okay.
He's very quick and can't wait to get to the next store. And not only that, like he's like, take as long as you need, like he'll go sit in the car or whatever.
Yeah.
But obviously you have that feeling of like, okay, like it's time to wrap it up. But keep in mind also that generally any store that we go into, he only has to look through a quarter of the amount of stuff I have to look through. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, yeah. You think of any ratio of men's clothes to women's clothes in a store. And of course he's done quicker. I mean, there's not as much stuff. So yeah. I have to be extra, you know, I have to be twice as fast.
And so when my daughter we used to go together when I was teaching her how to do the business, and she would be finished so much faster than I would. And it's just that pressure of like, yeah, she's sitting in the car waiting on me. I better just finish and go with that. And well, we did look for different things. We'd look through the same clothing racks and she would choose items that were for her generation, her age group. And I would choose something different. So we had this joke that she is shopping for the Kardashians. I was shopping for the Duggars. Or Emily Gilmore on Gilmore Girls with like the St. John outfit or the, you know, the very tailored conservative sort of Laura Bush look. Yeah. So we were shopping for different things and, you know, she'd be like, oh, here's one for you. You know, she's like, I'm not selling that.
Yeah. Well, right. Because your personal store kind of has an aesthetic about it, right? Based on what you've picked up. And it's, you do start to cultivate like a whole look to what you're selling.
Well, and you know different things. It's like now what's coming back is what we wore in high school.
Right.
You know, not just the brands, but the look.
Yes. And
there was a lot of different looks if you were in high school in the 80s, you know.
Yes.
Just a lot of different cliques and preppies and the sportos, just like the Breakfast Club, just like that. He's like, oh, I remember wearing those long plaid L.L. Bean skirts with boots and a corduroy blazer and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know the brands and
acid wash jeans.
You know, a 20-something-year-old isn't going to be interested in that. You know, she was doing Anthropology and, you know, all those kinds of brands. So, it worked for us to go together for a while. And then she just wanted to go by herself. She was like, I don't need you. And I'm like, that's what every parent wants to hear. I don't need you. Yeah. So anyway, she came to visit for Thanksgiving and passed the Goodwill on the way to where I live. And I was like, we could go to Goodwill. She's like, no, we're not going to a thrift store. So yeah, that worked out. So how many things do you have in your store?
That's a good question. Currently it's pretty low. So I think it's under 200 items currently. We've been here 5 months and before we left Virginia, I totally cleaned out my closet and downsized so I wouldn't have to move so much inventory.
Yes. Yeah. We were on the same page with that.
Yeah. I sold off a lot to buy sell trade stores. We had a large garage sale at our house before we moved. I mean, I just moved it any way I could.
But there's something really liberating about getting rid of all that dead stock and starting.
Yes.
It's just like, oh yeah, I've had that for a year. I paid $3 for it. It does not make sense to move it if it's, you know, not something tiny. And just start over, because yes, you know, even if you sold stuff for twice what you paid, you're still getting some money out of it. You get a sale, hopefully you get feedback, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was just very freeing, just like, you know, taking off a heavy backpack. It's like, oh, I'm free. I can start over now.
Yes. And I'm actually really, I will rotate out things that aren't selling. Like I reevaluate after just a few months' time. Like I constantly, you know, am culling, you know, pulling out items and you know, I would say about every 2 months, I take a whole giant bag of clothes to a buy sell trade store, and like things that are just kind of sitting, not getting a lot of attention.
So are you talking about like Uptown Cheapskate and Plato's Closet?
Yeah. So here in Greenville, we have a clothes mentor.
I did not know that. Thank you.
And they're really great. Like, I mean, we had a clothes mentor where I was from, but the clothes mentor where I was from was a little more snooty and picky. And I don't know, but every time I bring my stuff into this one in Greenville, they're like the nicest people. And they're always like, you just have such nice things. Come back anytime. Like, I'm like, wow, you know, like just are like happy to see me. And they, you know, I get a pretty good return for, you know, what I've brought in. So it's kind of, you know, it's a rewarding thing to do. And I'm just getting things, like, I don't like holding on to a ton of inventory. I like it to move. I like activity, you know, in my store. I just like things to come in and go out. And so I just kind of am always keeping the flow going by doing that.
Well, I've never heard of Clothes Mentor, and I'm looking it up right now. So is that a national chain?
It is.
Okay. I'll have to go check
that out. They're really close. Yeah. They're really close to the Haywood Mall.
Oh, what you said about people being so friendly. Yes, that is what I have experienced here, is that it's a completely different vibe from where I live in Atlanta. And it's just like everybody's laid back. Nothing's open on Fridays.
On like Fridays?
The doctors and dentists and,
oh, really?
Professionals seem to all be, you know, my accountant, they're like all closed on Fridays. And I'm like, that's good. Or like the restaurants they're all different hours.
Right? Oh yeah.
Like this one over here is closed on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes.
This one over here is closed on Sundays. So if you want to go out, you really have to think about, are they open?
You do. Yeah.
That's a COVID thing. They just, you know, everybody was closed all the time. And then they opened up on their busiest days because, it's hard to get people to work and all that kind of stuff that happened. But yeah, it's something I've had to learn to pay attention to, because I didn't see that where I lived before. Everything was pretty much back to its normal hours. And now it's just, I love this. I talk about the Olympian Grill, which it's not Olympic eating, as my son says. it's a Greek restaurant near me.
Okay.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I want to go over there. Meet me over there. Oh, they're not open on Sundays. Anyway, but it's very laid back here. So I know I mentioned people saying, you know, there's too many people moving to Greenville. But I mean, they said it in kind of a fun, relaxed way. You know, they weren't hateful or anything. It was just they notice. And I think Greenville gets in the news for that a lot, on these lists of cities to move to. And, you know, so they're more conscious of it. There's more construction, that kind of thing. But I don't think it I don't think it will ever be a giant city. I think there's only 500,000 people in the Greenville city limits. And in Atlanta, the metro area is up to like 5 million. So yeah. You know, a very different vibe.
Very different, yes.
But I will check out Clothes Mentor because I'd never thought of doing that, selling some of your dead stock. I mean, it's they outright buy it, like Plato's.
They just buy it, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're getting cash in hand. You're walking away with cash, which is nice.
That is a good thing. Cash is good. Okay. So you're mostly clothing. You have around 200 items. Would you consider yourself part-time or full-time?
I guess I would really consider myself part-time. I don't stick to a strict schedule of anything. There are days when I'm at home that I might take almost the whole, you know, I might list for 8 hours that day, but the next day I, you know, might go do something with my daughter, you know, where we go to the movies or we go, you know, I don't know. It just, yeah. There's no schedule.
Well, probably part-time, but 8 hours a day. Gold star for you. I mean, is that 8 hours of like getting up every 20 minutes to get more coffee? Or, I mean, are you so totally focused, like a full-time job?
I mean, yeah, on the, like, if I say I'm going to have a listing day, I mean, I'll pretty much treat it like an office job. Like, I mean, obviously I'll have a lunch break and yeah, I mean, I'll get coffee or go to the bathroom, but I mean, I'll primarily just kind of sit, you know, I have a spot, since we just moved here 5 months ago, we're not at our permanent residence. We're in a rental house. So I used to have my own office. I currently don't. So that's kind of a little struggle. But I have a little corner of my bedroom that I have, you know, a little chair and I have my, my to be listed inventory next to me. And I have my nightstand doubles as a little desk because it's a good size mm-hmm. nightstand. And I'll just, yeah, I'll sit here and that's what I'll do all day. And like I said, like thrifting days, you know, I'll take a whole, you know, if we're in town, I mean, we'll thrift for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and come home. So every day is literally different. I do try and do something oriented to the business, you know, just to have that activity within my store and things like that. But I, you know, not every day is a full-time working day.
Yeah, it can't be. That's the whole purpose of doing this is flexibility.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad that you work out of your bedroom because so do I. I have a small desk and it's all about putting my desk computer by the window with the best view.
Mm-hmm. So
that's where it is. I have to have my desk by a window. But you know, my kids tease me that I live like a college student. It's my dorm. I have, you know, my bedroom and my workstation are the same room, but I don't mind. It works for me. And that way I can actually leave my workstation. You know, times before I've had it in like a common space and it's always there calling to you.
Right. Right.
It's kind of like, well, and then like in the afternoons, I'll move to like the family room and work on my laptop and, you know, to change the environment. But, I mean, that's another benefit of eBay is you can just make it work however you want to.
Yeah. It's portable. You can go. Yeah. And I can take a few pieces and, you know, if I want to sit downstairs on the living room sofa, then I can list right there. I mean, it doesn't matter where I am. I'm, you know, pretty portable with it.
Well, what I do when I take my pictures is then I write down on my trusty steno pad, because I'm a paper person, you know, the item measurements, if there are any, and the weight of mm-hmm. it packaged. And I have this list. So I can just sit with my laptop anywhere and do listings and not have to have the item with me.
Yes. I do that as well.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that's you know, that allows you to, like, if you want to go across the street to Starbucks and work, you have some work you can just take with you.
I've actually utilized that if I've gone on vacation. I take the list with me, and, like, because I'm a really early morning riser. So if I've gone on vacation, but whoever I'm vacationing with is going to be sleeping for two more hours than I am, I list in the morning.
Which would be me. You know, and it's like sunrise. I hear they happen really often, but I just don't see them.
Yeah, it's great. I get so much work done in the early morning, you know, and I feel like, wow, by 10 o'clock, I'm like, yeah, I'm winning.
Day's over. You're ready for a nap when everybody's getting up.
Oh, I wish I could. No, I'm not even a napper. I can't nap.
But, oh, that's one of the life's luxuries for me. That's one of the reasons I always wanted to work at home is I can lay down when I'm tired. Like I'm in kindergarten. Get your mat out. We're all going to lay down. I don't care.
I'm always just ready for another coffee break. I enjoy the coffee.
Yeah. We had a good time having coffee. We were there for 3 hours.
I know. Well, we had a lot to talk about.
That was a cute place and the coffee was good. So, yeah. And so that's a perfect segue into our next topic, which we threw around the idea of starting a Greenville and surrounding area resellers group. So that has been set up on Facebook and the link is below the podcast if you're interested in joining. We don't know what we're going to do with it yet, but it's not an official meetup. Because they have so many rules and you have to pay to have that account. I tried that in Atlanta and it just didn't catch on.
Oh, okay.
So this is just a Facebook group for Greenville and surrounding area resellers so that we can eventually have, you know, get-togethers at a restaurant or, you know, just to throw around ideas like all the things I've learned from you in the past few minutes. I live.
I think it's just nice to create a community of like-minded individuals. I mean, obviously what we do isn't common, I mean, to a lot of people. And so it's just nice to talk to other people that can relate to and understand what you're talking about. Because a lot of times if I'm talking to a new friend or something about what I do, it's just a lot of explanation. It's a lot of, you know, they're asking a lot of questions.
Oh, they ask a lot of questions. Yeah.
They're curious. And it's like, I feel like I'm always in a teaching mode versus just talking to somebody who already knows what I'm talking
about. Oh, I can relate. Yeah. And what's funny is my mom lived with me for about a year when I first started eBay because I had been through a divorce. She had hip surgery and needed help. So we just kind of joined forces. And of course, she brought all her stuff and I practiced on, well, I learned on a lot of her things, but, you know, I would go thrifting and come home and say, oh, I found this Bobby Jones Masters golf shirt in a 2XL. And I was so excited. She didn't know what I was talking about. She knew what the Masters was, but she'd be like that standard mom answer, oh, honey, that's wonderful. But she didn't know what I was talking about. I found this thing and I, you know, never found it before and it sells for a lot. Oh, honey, I'm so happy you had a good day. You know, she didn't know. And I think other resellers experience that too, where they get so excited and they don't have anybody to tell.
Exactly. Nobody to share that with that's going to be just as excited as they are.
Yeah. But one thing we talked about during our first meeting was just, we know there's a lot of sellers in this area because they post on the group. And then when I mentioned I was moving here, I heard from a lot of people, but there hasn't been much activity on that group. And it probably won't be until after the holidays because, you know, everybody has a million things going on, but, we just thought maybe like a standing meeting once a month at a certain place, you know, so it's always the same. And just whoever comes, and you just share information and create some relationships if you don't have people in your life that get it.
Yeah.
Like your husband gets it.
Right.
Yeah. So, but a lot of people don't have that, or they just have the spouse that's like, oh yeah, my wife does this thing where she shops and brings these things home, and I don't know what's going on, or oh, the garage is full of my wife's stuff or my husband's stuff, or like Brandon that went to the hoarder house sale and came home with a truckload, literally a truckload of Barbies. And his wife was like, what? So that's your vision for this group too, right?
Just yes. Yeah. People.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I would love to see it grow into, you know, developing friendships and sharing, you know, different ideas, or you're just sharing information about, hey, you know, because some people, I mean, everybody even sources differently, right? Some people love to go, you know, every Saturday to garage sales. Some people love to go to thrift stores. Some people are retail arbitrage. Some people, you know, everybody's completely different. And so I think it's just neat to share ideas or share information about, hey, did you guys see there's going to be, you know, this rummage sale or whatever? Yeah. Especially like being new to the area, I don't know a lot of those extra things, you know, besides looking up there at thrift
and
store.
A lot of them are unadvertised. So
really?
They'll be like, oh, yeah, such and such church has this sale every spring. You got to go to that one. Or, you know, this is what I would tell people that came, moved to Atlanta or asked me where to go. I mean, I would tell them I can't be everywhere, or, you know, definitely go, you know, to this neighborhood sale, or, oh, you don't want to go to that one. Whatever it might be, just because, yes, a lot of things are advertised, but sometimes they're not. And not everything's going to come up on yardsale.net or,
right,
you know, estatesale.net or whatever they are, just because I'm not sure if you have to pay to advertise on those sites to post a sale, or, I mean, sometimes even if it's $10, that's going to deter people from posting their sales. They just don't want to pay anything. So, you know, learning the areas, I mean, we already know Augusta Road is like the place, but there's a lot of other places around that we don't know.
Right. And
the people I know who live here, one of the reasons I moved here, they're not really into this. You know, they know what neighborhoods are more expensive or more affluent, but the other resellers are the ones who are going to know, who can point you to things that you don't have to figure out.
Right.
spoon feed your new friends if you're not threatened.
We're looking for them.
Yeah, we're looking for a handout. But yeah, I haven't been to very many eBay events. I went mostly because they're on the West Coast.
Right. And
the travel expense of getting there is just crazy if you're on the East Coast. So,
right.
And then I was a single mom for so many years, I just couldn't get away. Like, I can't justify spending that money when, you know, I've got a preteen son who needs a new size shoe every month, you know. It's like those trips were expensive. So I haven't really been to many. And I think those giant conventions, you know, it's hard to meet people that are local to you.
Right.
Once a year thing. So
right.
I know there are some very successful meetups with hundreds of resellers. And I don't know if I'm looking to do that, because the bigger it is, the more organizing you have to do. But you know, if we could get a group of resellers that are looking for connections, because everybody has something to contribute.
Absolutely.
No matter how long you've been doing eBay, no matter how long you've been living in a certain place, everybody has information to contribute.
Absolutely. And everybody has a story about how they got here. And, you know, it's just bringing people together from all different walks of life. You know, everybody, is doing something. Everybody's selling something different. I mean, so yeah, I think we could help each other a lot.
And who doesn't like to meet for lunch with a bunch of friends?
Exactly. There's a lot of restaurants in this area. And, you know, I haven't even begun to hit, you know.
I was just going to say that. There's so many restaurants here that are just local Greenville that aren't national chains.
It's really cool.
Yeah. There's one called Kitchen Sink, spelled S-Y-N-C. And I've been there, but I couldn't tell you where it is because...
Is it near you or is it in?
No, I think it's more near, Augusta Road, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure, but you can look that up. And it was just a fun little trendy place. There's so much I want to explore and do, but you can only eat so much in a day. So.
I know.
So, yeah. So to the listeners, if you are in or around the Greenville area, check out that Facebook group. What do we call it? Greenville Resellers? Or contact me and I'll point you to it. So we can see if we can get that going, or if not, then I guess it'll just be you and me going on a restaurant tour.
Well, I'll try and keep it maybe a little active until we get to do our first meeting. Like maybe post a few if you find a bolo while you're out thrifting or.
I haven't posted. Just I've been doing that settling in to a new place thing. I just kind of put that on the back burner. But these things take a while to build.
Yeah. But just so we still, you know, still remember we're there.
We're we'll get it on a schedule, I guess, where it's, you know, like the third Thursday of every month or something right. Like that, where it's scheduled, and so you can keep that time available.
So you can plan ahead, yeah. Right. You'll be able to plan ahead and put it in your calendar.
Like, no, I cannot come in to have this tooth fixed at the dentist on that day because that is my reseller meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that takes priority.
There are a few sellers in Charlotte who have expressed interest, you know.
That's awesome.
You know, it's only 2 hours away. So we'll see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that we'll go shopping together though. I don't know. Fights might break out. We might not want to do that.
Well, you know, I'll give you all the hard goods. I don't even look at those.
I guess we should do it like they do those business networking groups where there's only one realtor, one banker, one person in each industry. So like there's one person that does electronics, one person that does sports and games, so that we're not competing with each other.
Because when I go into a store, I'm first usually going to go towards shoes, and then I'm over to the clothes, and then I do I love to look at the books, just for my personal pleasure, but especially at this time of year, I do go over to hard goods and I look around, because every year for Christmas, I do thrifted Christmas bags for my kids.
Uh-huh.
And so for like starting in like October, I just start picking up things that I think they would like, they would think are cool or whatever. And I, you know, put them in these different bags. And I think last year we gave them on Christmas Eve, actually. and they were just so excited about them. They loved, you know, seeing what I would have picked out for them. And because like throughout the year, I mean, if we find like a cool t-shirt, we'll bring it home and like, you know, be like, oh, here, we found you this. But, you know, at this time of year, we'll just save all those things that we find and we'll just put it in the bags and it becomes like a gift thing.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but I do that all year.
Oh, you do?
Like, oh, this would be a great gift, you know, candles like that aren't valuable, you know, that are brand new, even like from Kohl's or, you know, they don't have to be the Yankee or White Barn or whatever, but I always have those on hand for gifts. Or, you know, oh, this would make a nice gift item. It's brand new. It's a little journal. It's not written in or something like that. So I keep a stash of gifts on hand and often send them to friends, you know, for their birthday or, you know, I like mailing things to people, like not just eBay sales, but like friends.
Yeah.
And I like it when people send me stuff, you know, a little card, a handwritten card, or, you know, that just shows that it's personal. You thought about that person.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, I'm always looking for little things to give as gifts. It's just nice to have them on hand. So I love that idea of a thrifted Christmas.
Yeah, they know. So they know everything isn't, like, not everything's brand new with the tags or whatever. It's just all things that we thought they might enjoy. And it's always given with, if you don't love everything, you know, I don't care if you redonate that back or trade with each other or, you know, I've got three girls. So they're all, a lot of them have some of the same interests and, you know, like, it's just a fun, see what mom and dad found, like while they were out thrifting these past few months.
Now, what are your girls' ages?
Our oldest is 26. And then our son is 25. The next girl is 23. And the youngest one is 18.
So, yeah, a lot of estrogen in that house. A lot of drama, right? A lot of meltdowns.
Yes. Needless to say, my son is very quiet.
Yeah. He knows how to handle girls. Like, he can just ignore their drama, just not let it upset him because
he's very low key.
Yeah, there's a benefit to having a lot of sisters. That was my family growing up. I'm the second of four. I have an older sister, and then it's me, and then my brother, and then my younger sister. And so my brother learned early on, you don't beat up girls because then you're going to have a pile on. Right. Three girls beating up on you.
Right. And smile and nod.
You play Barbies and you just get to be G.I. Joe because that's what we're doing.
Exactly.
So the last question is always, what kind of advice would you give to anybody getting into eBay?
You know what? I think go in with your interest forward. Don't go in with only thinking about the money aspect or beating everybody to the best shelf in the store, or, you know, just go in with your mind open and follow what you enjoy or you already know. Like, go there first, because that's typically where you're going to end up staying and cultivating your craft, you know. Because you're going to stay with what you have interest in.
Yeah. And I think that's hard for some sellers who are in it only for the money. And, you know, they're doing as much as they can, as fast as they can. And you just burn out. You know, if you don't love it, you're not going to keep doing it.
Right. But I've come, like, I can see myself as, and of course I started with something at the time, which was of high value. But when I got back into it, it was, you know, learning a lot along the way, because in the beginning, I would just pick up anything that, oh, well, this is only a dollar, so I know I can make $10. You know what I mean? But now, along the way, you really learn, like, what is a valuable piece and what's worth your time. And, you know, I have a much higher ASP now because I know what to leave behind. I mean, you really have to keep learning about brands and styles and, you know, with clothing, you know, materials, structure, you know, all of that. and just what, and really you have to keep up with what's going on in the fashion industry. You have to keep up on trends. You know, something that's super hot in 2020 now might already be on its way out. You might not even be picking up that same brand you just picked up, you know, 2 years ago. So, you know, you have to be open to all that. You have to be open to constantly learning.
And as our kids say, Mom, that is so yesterday. That's over, Mom. Like, well, if you just wait 30 years, it'll come back.
Exactly. Yeah, it always does.
All that 70s clothing is coming back with the bell bottoms and the
70s is in, Y2K, 90s, the 90s stuff. Just,
it always comes back. So, yeah, but one thing you said, what you don't buy is just as important as what you do buy, because that thing's going to take up your time, or you may never even list it if you don't want to work with it, you know? So, I have these little mantras in my head that are like, yeah, I'm just going to leave this for somebody else. Yeah. I mean, it's never a matter of if you can sell something. It's, do you want to work with it? Do you want to list it? How long is it going to take? How much money are you going to?
Do you want to pick up that piece that has a stain going, oh, I could get that stain out, but then it really sits in the corner for 3 weeks because you don't want to work on the stain. You
know? Right. I got to get to that. And then it's like, I don't even want to do this. Then you redonate it.
Exactly. Sometimes.
Yeah. And you redonate it to a store you don't go to, so that you don't ever have to see it again.
Have you ever been in a store where you donated a whole, like even my own personal, like I've been, and then I'm going shopping and I'm like, oh, I recognize that. That's my shirt.
I've started putting a big X with a magic marker on the tag when I donate things because sometimes I donate at like just a drop, like it's not a store. It's going to go.
Right.
And so in Atlanta, we had this one Goodwill. It was like a tractor trailer thing by the recycling center. And I would drop off my stuff there, and then it could show up anywhere I went. So I started marking the tags like, don't buy this again. X, don't do it.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
And then I would see it in a store and I would just laugh and everybody would look at me like, what's so funny? And it's just like, well, this was mine. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day. It's very dreary weather here today. So is this a listing day for you?
This is a listing afternoon for me. Yes. I was out this morning for coffee with a friend. I actually did get out in the rain to go meet a friend for coffee, but the rest of my day will be a listing day. Yep.
Well, I commend you on being such a committed friend. I have a friend I work out with, and when it's bad weather, I'm like, do you really want to do this today? And she's like, yes, I need to. I'm like, okay, then I'll be there. Just check and make sure you didn't want to bail out.
Right.
So. Okay. Well, thanks again. And we'll see you on the Greenville Resellers group as well as the regular Facebook group.
Oh, that sounds so good. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye, Kim.
Bye.
Thanks again, Kim, for making time to come on the podcast. And I'm looking forward to building and growing our Greenville Resellers group. So we'll see what happens with that in 2023. Today's trivia question. Why is it called a nativity scene? The holidays are over for now, but for next year, you'll know. What is the origin of the word nativity? Here are 5 seconds to think about it. It comes from the Middle French nativité, spelled N-A-T-I-V-I-T-E, meaning the feast of the birth of Jesus. It ultimately derives from the Latin nativitas, meaning birth. Although nativity can mean birth or birthplace, it's not commonly used in this way. Next week, my guest is Jackie, a reseller in Charlotte, North Carolina, who is also an attorney. She does eBay as a side hustle and is doing remarkably well, and I am quite jealous of some of her finds. And to all the listeners out there, thank you for spending the last hour with us. I appreciate you. I know your time is valuable and am honored that you tune in every week to support this podcast. Stay positive and keep moving forward. And I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.